The following may contain offensive language, adult humor, and or content that some viewers may find offensive. The views and opinions expressed by any one speaker does not explicitly or necessarily reflect or represent those of Mark Rattledge or W2M Network. Please listen with caution, or don't listen at all.
TV party tonight!
What?
TV party tonight!
Oh! We got nothing better to do than watch TV and have a couple of brews.
Don't want to talk about anything else.
We don't want to know.
We're dedicated here
to our favorite shows.
Oh, my ticket!
Everybody loves Hypnotoad!
Gary Dawg!
Benson at Blurnsville!
Futurama!
Hello, good evening, and welcome to TV Party Tonight. I'm your host, Alexis Hayne. Wait, if I'm the host, then what am I doing on the right side? No, I'm on the left. I have my demands. Is this going to be a running thing with you and me tonight? Okay, great. This is what I get for having someone on the show who has equal control over the buttons.
There, sweetie. I wouldn't want you to get upset with me. You're welcome.
All right, joining me because he was the only person willing to lay on this landmine is freaking Mark Rattledge. Hello, Mark. How are you doing tonight?
Listen, never let it be said that I would leave a damsel in distress. I would never leave you alone, cold in the snow and the wind on the side of the road, wet from the rain. When you were like, yeah, I'm taking on all the Marvel and Star Wars stuff and, you know, whatever else it is that you want to do. And I said, thank God, because I don't want to do it anymore. And you could not find a single soul, not a single solitary person, not even Robert Winfrey, who never has anything to do. He found something to do tonight to get out of having to review Echo. And I was like, you know what? It's 5 episodes. I have time. I'm not social like I used to be. So here I am for you, Alexis. I do it for you, babe. I'm here to talk about Echo.
All right. Yes, we are talking about the new Marvel miniseries, Echo. This is featuring the character of the same name who we originally saw in the series Hawkeye. Once again, played by if I massacre any of these names, I apologize. Alakwa Cox, also starring.
I like her Cox too. Arr.
It's going to be one of those nights, folks. Starring, the show also stars, I will admit, a very impressive...
On the one hand, you have me here as a guest. On the other hand, you have me here as a guest.
A very impressive listing of Native American actors. We have Chaskey Spencer, Tantu Cardinal, Cody Lightning, Graham Greene. It's always great to see folks like that getting more representation and more screen time. So this takes place 5 months after the events of Hawkeye, in which we saw at the end of that Maya Lopez, aka Echo, the former leader of the Tracksuit Mafia, as they were officially dubbed, realizing that she was betrayed by her former boss, the Kingpin, who in fact had set up Ronan, aka Hawkeye, aka Clint Barton, to kill her father. Hawkeye ends with Lopez shooting Kingpin in the face, bullet going through the eye, and she takes off. So 5 months later, she is back in her hometown of Oklahoma. She is on the run because there's a bounty on her head. And according to the official synopsis, Linda returned to her hometown, Oklahoma, where she must come to terms with her past, reconnect with her Native American roots, and embrace her family and community. But Lord knows that really wasn't the focus for this show, because frankly, I think the creators over at Marvel/Disney realized that they had a character and an actress who was deaf, handicapped, and Native American, and said, we need a show about her.
Handicapable.
She does have a prosthetic leg. Yes, that's not CGI. She has a prosthetic leg. She's deaf. She is Native American. Miss Cox is... Yeah,
she literally ticks all the boxes.
Yeah. Oh my God. I'm going to.
And I think again. She's gay on top of everything else. So they really nailed this one.
The actress is from the Menominee tribe.
Right.
Otherwise known, derived from the Ojibwe language word for wild rice people. Menominee Indian tribe of Wisconsin.
Wild rice people, isn't them Chinese?
This is the part where I point out, as usual, that this show is being discussed by two middle-aged white people from Missouri and Florida. So if
I'm originally from New York.
That doesn't help.
Yeah, no, but I just want people to know the real me. The real sarcastic, quasi-racist me.
Okay, so if we screw up any names, any pronunciations, or get any of that stuff wrong, we apologize in advance. It's not because we're not because we don't care. It's because we're idiots.
No, I also don't care.
Fine, I care. I just really don't want to get branded something because of your show.
The difference between somebody who has to deal with people and sell them stuff and the person who has to deal with people and put them behind bars could not be more evident between you and I.
Okay, so this was 5 episodes. This was a new thing that they're focusing on here at Marvel, where it's, I believe they're calling it their Spotlight Collection. The idea are smaller stories that are not directly intertwined with the greater picture at the MCU, which I think a lot of us have actually been calling for a while, because we were getting tired of the MCU movies where it's like, oh crap, I got to do homework and go, you know, watch this and this and this to understand what's going on. I've been saying for a while, let's get some Marvel shorts, Marvel miniseries and the like, where we don't have to watch this stuff before we go drag our ass to the next MCU film. Because, frankly, that's gotten insanely annoying.
My understanding of the Marvel Spotlight stuff was to focus on some lesser-known characters, especially lesser-known characters of some minority description, like this one. She's all the minority and all the Jedi, as we'll come to find out. But I think that was the whole trick with the Marvel Spotlight stuff. It was like, hey, we have this native, handicapable, deaf woman. Why don't we tell a story about her? And, you know, that falls into like the Marvel Spotlight thing. I think it really is just to highlight some of the lesser known characters who can't carry an entire 10 to 20 episode series. But if you gave her a couple of episodes to sort of flesh out a fun story, that works just fine.
And the Spotlight series is not a bad idea. The Marvel Universe has so many characters, and admittedly, yeah, not all of them are going to fit in their own movies, their own feature-length TV shows, or hell, even as side characters against the major characters. It makes sense to do things like this. Hell, I'm still demanding our Great Lakes Avengers series so we can appease Mr. Evan Bevins and get Squirrel Girl on the screen.
I'm not opposed to the Marvel Spotlight idea. I'm not entirely sure this was the character to do it with or this was the story to tell, but we can get into that. But as a general idea of like, hey, there's this character that came out of this show. He or she was really popular. Why don't we give them their own mini spinoff? Okay. As a structural idea to create more content and, you know, give lesser known characters and actors and actresses an opportunity in the spotlight, no pun intended, not a bad thought. So I'm not totally down on the idea of this. I'm not even totally down on the idea of doing an Echo show. The way that it was done is what I have a problem with.
Yeah, so we've had a lot of complaints about this. The biggest one that I have is that Frank... Okay, again, this character came up about halfway through Hawkeye as an antagonist who had her heart set on killing the Ronin because she saw them kill her father, who then she thinks is Kate Bishop, because Kate Bishop found the Ronin costume and put it on. And then she's like, oh no, wait, Clint Barton was the Ronin when you killed father? And Clint Barton has to finally get through to her. The person who tipped me off to kill your dad was an informant working for the Kingpin. There is a lot to be said about Maya Lopez as an interesting character, but none of that is delivered in this series.
I have a major problem with the whole setup to this. I had forgotten about the Kingpin setting up her father to be killed by Ronin. So when they flash back to it at the beginning, I thought, okay, well, then they're going to address this at some point. So much of this show, the impetus of this show is the Kingpin adopted this girl as basically his daughter. He calls her, you know, his niece. And he raised her.
He's kind of more like the adoptive uncle, because for most of her life, her father is alive. But I would say he took an active role in her life in New York.
So my whole thing is, like, we get to the point where the Kingpin has her dad killed. It's revealed to her at the end of Hawkeye. She takes revenge on the Kingpin. And then it's about the Kingpin saying, okay, we need to bring you back into the fold. So here's my problem. The next thing that should have happened is the Kingpin explaining to her why he had her father killed. And we never get that. We never get a rational explanation for why he had the dad killed in the first place. And it's like, it's the same beat for like two or three episodes where it's like, Maya, come home. Maya, you're special. Maya, you're all the things. You could be the queen pin. And she's like, no, you betrayed me. You killed my father, yada, yada, yada. And then it's like, then they just run away from that whole thing. Like, and so it's like the writers didn't know why either. It was just something that they did to get this character to shoot Kingpin in the face, because God forbid we have a strong male villain character in the Marvel Cinematic Universe these days. And then it was like, okay, but now we have to explain it. And they're like, because he's the Kingpin. Works just fine. Like, no, it doesn't. You know, I'll tell you what, half of the show I didn't mind. The part of the show I didn't mind was the stuff having to do with her connecting to her Native American roots. I have a problem. Let me see if I can explain this clearly. I, of my own volition, would not watch a show about a young Native woman running from her crime boss in New York, coming home to Oklahoma and reconnecting with her native tribe and learning something about herself. I don't think that's a bad idea. It's not just not a show that I would watch. I'm entitled to not want to watch things. However, I'm kind of pushed into watching this show by virtue of the fact that it's part of the Marvel universe. I watch the Marvel stuff, and I was sold on this show. It's a whole part of the whole reason I'm here tonight is, well, it's a lead in to Daredevil Born Again. Okay. So you're taking a show that I wouldn't normally watch, but because you dressed it up and all this other stuff that I'm interested in, you got me to watch. Here's the problem. The stuff with her connecting to her Native American, the Native American stuff is kind of interesting, and I really wanted to give it a chance and not just shit on it because, you know, like, oh, I don't get it. It's not for me. I don't want to watch. Like, no, I'm interested in other cultures, so I thought it was fine, I guess. It's just not something I care about. So then the next thing that has to happen is, well, you should care about the character. The character is somebody you should invest in, you should care about. They don't do that either. She's not somebody I care about. She's the least interesting person in this whole fucking show.
Absolutely. She's not only the least interesting, she's also the least sympathetic and the least likable.
Right.
Again, the idea about her connecting to her roots could have been interesting if that was actually leading to something.
So but here's the thing.
Her character doesn't change.
Right. So you have a show I don't care about, led by a hero that I don't want to root for. But at least there's the villain, right? At least you have a compelling villain that's chasing her, that's kind of causing all the tension and drama. Nope. They once again took one of the most vicious killer bosses in the Marvel universe.
One of the best casting in the Marvel. I mean, I think when he first appeared in Daredevil, we were all going, hell yeah.
Yeah, no, everyone loved Vincent D'Onofrio in the Daredevil shows on Netflix. Mm-hmm. But even in the comic book, like, the Kingpin is legitimately feared. Like, you know, I understand, like, these characters were kept alive because they needed to sell books. But even with Spider-Man out there, Punisher out there, Daredevil out there, three pretty serious heroes in the Marvel comic book universe, and none of them got anywhere near the Kingpin at any given time. Not Spider-Man with all the strength that he has, not Daredevil, not the Punisher with all the, you know, with all the machinery and, you know, machine guns that he could possibly possess. Nobody got near the Kingpin. The Kingpin was always 10 steps ahead and was vicious and hurt people real bad. And they captured that spirit somewhat, I think, in the Daredevil shows. But here, I used to make the joke about Thanos in Infinity War, in the Infinity Gauntlet story that he's basically like a lovesop teenage boy. He's just pining for death. He's like, oh, death.
And then he gets mad. Yeah, and then he's like, well, now that I've exterminated half the universe, she
thinks I'm like me now, Death?
And now she won't talk to me. Death. I can't understand this woman.
Death, I did all these things for you. Do you like me now?
Why are you liking Deadpool more than me? Yeah.
And there's Death going, I like other heroes. Death is going, no, but aren't I a pretty boy? Did I do nice things for you? Did I not bring you death? Did I not bring you destruction? Did I not bring you devotion? And she's like, you're so uninteresting to me. I'm going to go with this bad boy over here. that's Death. That's the problem. They turned Kingpin into that version of Thanos.
Where yeah, it's just pretty like, much.
Where the whole, my impression of three episodes of this series. Echo! Echo, come back, Echo! I'll be better this time, Echo. I won't burn the meatloaf, Echo. I'll make sure the houses get clean, Echo. Ugh.
Again, it was never confirmed, but my suspicion was the reason he wanted Lopez's father killed was I bet that he was basically saying, I want her to take over.
That's
he was
great, essentially... Alexis, that you could put that together, except that the show doesn't say it, and that's my problem.
Exactly. It's like, that would have been a good character arc.
Yes, her to it would have.
That yeah, was, her to find out, if she had too. Found out, that it's like if Kingpin had revealed, that's why he killed her father. It's like, your father was standing in your way. He didn't want you to lead our group or whatever. It's like, that would have been such a good story arc.
It doesn't have to be
arc.
That complicated. I see it, I want it. There's this little girl. I want her to love me as a father. Well, I have to get rid of her father. Then I'll get rid of her father. All you had to do was kind of more directly imply it or state it emphatically, and you were fine. Like, I wasn't asking for, I didn't need a long, convoluted story about the father. I just needed the Kingpin to basically, like, I wanted a kid of my own. You were there, and I needed you to transfer your love from your father to me. So I had him killed. Like, I've had everyone else around here killed because that's what I do. I'm the Kingpin. And they do none of that. And then again, he never says why of all the people in all of the world that Kingpin has ever touched, why this one in particular, this one-legged deaf assassin, this goon from the original, from the Hawkeye show, needed to be the Queenpin of crime. I'm never given a rational explanation for it, except that the writers were in love with her and the writers wanted her to be in charge.
The closest we get is a line from the first episode when we have her fight Daredevil, which is admittedly like the only really cool scene in the entire freaking show. For the record, credit to the fight choreographers and the cinematographers. The way they did that scene, looking like it was one shot, was impressive. You know me, I like to give credit where credit is due. I thought that scene was really well done. I especially liked how they were able to go in and out of the audio. So at one point, you're where Echo is and you can hear like her heartbeat and her target's heartbeat.
That's honestly the coolest part of it for me.
Yeah.
Was giving from her point of view, and her point of view, she can't hear anything. And they did it. I think they did the most effective job of making it distinctive than every other time they've tried this routine is... Because she's deaf and it's a frenetic situation and she doesn't know where the danger's coming from, she gets hit, blindsided a few times. And she has to react to that. And that was kind of cool. Her actual one-on-one for the few seconds that it took place with Daredevil was fine. I would have liked a little bit more of that. But other than that, yeah, it was literally the most interesting and distinctive thing about this that didn't have something directly to do with the Native American culture.
But again, that I think was the only reason why we were given this hint that the Kingpin would want her to take over, because he mentions that she was the only one who was able to stand her ground against Daredevil.
Mm-hmm. And that is not a reason to put that's a reason.
I didn't say it was a reason. I said it was the closest thing to a hint.
No, I hear you, and I'm not beating you up, but again, if you're right and that's their rationale, if you're like, my thought is this is what their thinking was. If that really was their thinking, these people are ridiculous. That's horrible writing. Because, again, the person in charge of your criminal empire should be more than somebody who can win a fight with a ninja. I always say, like, they put the people in charge of writing these things, that don't understand how any of this stuff works. So it's a lot of their own baggage. It's a lot of their own agenda. It's a lot of their own prejudices informing the writing. And this is why a lot of it sucks. And if that's what, and so I get a picture, just a bunch of women, you know, and some femboys sitting around a table, just thinking to themselves, like, wouldn't it be great if like a deaf woman ran a criminal empire? It would be like, it would be fabulous. Like I that kind of a conversation. It's like, y'all need to watch The Wire.
Echo is a cool character in the comic books. Her powers more are similar to Taskmaster's. There's actually a bit in the book where by watching a famous pianist, she is able to be to track his movements.
Did you say a penis? Good night, everybody.
God, you know I actually miss Robert. You've done
You know what's funny? I could do that joke with you because you know exactly where I cribbed that from.
Yeah, I know.
Please keep going so I can interrupt you again.
It's fine. Being a sausage, how apropos.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Just making sure you knew that I knew where that reference came from.
No, I knew exactly what we were doing.
No, like I said, in the comic books, Echo's power is not really such a power. It's very similar to Taskmaster. She right. can watch you and she can figure out exactly your fight patterns and she can mimic your abilities.
Yeah, which they apparently changed it because they thought it was the dumbest thing ever.
Well, they didn't do Taskmaster justice in the Black Widow movie, so I guess it makes sense they wouldn't give her anything. Apparently, Marvel just thinks Taskmaster's abilities are shit.
Yeah.
Which I think is bold because he's one of my favorite Marvel villains. And to top it off, they give her this new superpower to channel the power of her ancestors. And yeah,
she was all the Jedi.
Worse, she was Jonah Hex.
Oh my God.
No, so I was talking with a friend of mine last night. We were discussing mm-hmm. this thing that we've been seeing creep up with these movies and TV shows where it's like, despite the powers and the abilities and the stories of these characters, bottom web, I'm sorry, I had something crappy in my throat from when I was in the Amazon shortly before I died. And they decide to just erase all that and say, no, they need another superpower. I am officially dubbing that the Jonah Hex Clause.
Okay.
Because I still haven't forget. You know what I'm talking. Did you see that crappy
It's been years since I've seen Jonah Hex, but yes.
Okay, well, guess what? He couldn't bring things back from the dead by touching them. That was pushing up daisies. I joke. It's like, did someone just watch Pushing Up Daisies and think that's a cool idea for a superpower? Because that's the only thing that makes sense with that crappy Jonah Hex.
You know me. That stuff's important to you and like the Bleeding Edge guys and some of the.
Do not compare me to the Bleeding Edge assholes. Thank you very much.
My point is that level of minutia is important to you people. I don't give a fuck. I could care less what power she had. My problem with her is she kills the Kingpin. She comes home. I'm never really given a clear understanding as to why. But when she gets there, she realizes that the one family member is also working for the Kingpin. And, you know, the Kingpin's, I had to actually read this from the summary. The Kingpin's empire stretches far and wide. And then because she shot the Kingpin and she's on the run, the Kingpin sent goons after her. She has a price on her head. And that's kind of driving some of the story. But then the last bit of it is the Kingpin pining and whining for her, begging her, you know, baby, come back. You can blame it all on me. I was wrong and I just can't live without you, Echo.
Yeah, she says to Henry, I want to take over. It's time for a queen. And he says he'll give that to her. And all of a sudden she's like, no.
Yeah, now I don't want it. Now, yeah.
Now I don't want it because you're giving it to me. I got to take it. I got to pay the iron price, not the gold price.
Don't get me wrong. Typical girl behavior. I want this. Well, here. Well, now I don't want it. I want a sandwich. Like, I get it. But I don't think that's what they were going for. I don't think they were going for my chauvinistic opinion of women. I just don't think they knew. It's like half of this show is them desperately wanting to see, to say to the audience, isn't Native American culture really cool? Isn't it like what these people, I'm not debating that. Because it's the one bright point of this show, and honestly, if they were able to, they should have just left the Kingpin out of this. To be perfectly honest with you, if she had gone home, and the town was run by like a Native American mob, or there was a local, you know, it was the Killers of the Flower Moon. There's, you know, Robert De Niro and Leonardo DiCaprio are like killing natives. That would have been fine. That would have been a much better show.
Hell, I would have been fine if it was just a a higher level underling who was under Fisk.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like, go ahead, leave the Fisk empire in there. Just right. make it like that Zane guy who gets, you know, anticlimactically shot while holding a rocket launcher.
You know, we haven't seen Typhoid Mary show up yet. Throw her in there. You know, she's just running. You know, yeah, let's get some other Daredevil villains in there, lesser known villains. We haven't seen Bullseye yet in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. We haven't seen I take that back. I think Bullseye showed up in one season of Daredevil, but it was not like he did not look like the Colin Farrell Bullseye from the Ben Affleck movie.
That was like the one thing I actually enjoyed about that.
Yes.
Just because Colin Farrell's having the time of his life while filming.
Yeah, but
it.
They could have brought him, if they could find the actor or recast it, they could have brought, you know, have her being pursued by Bullseye, have her being pursued by Typhoid Mary, you know, some other lesser known Daredevil characters and throw them in there. And again, do like a Killers of the Flower Moon. She has to deal with, you know, the white man, you know, harassing this fucking town. But that was it. That was all you needed for this. And then you could show all the Native American stuff because that stuff's legitimately interesting. When they do like the stories of her family, you know, and they're shooting them in different styles. Like there's a black and white one; it's kind of a silent movie. There's that extended sequence of them playing what looks to be like a lacrosse, an early version of lacrosse. Mm-hmm. That was really cool. Some other stuff that they do with the natives, you know, I like the season finale with the powwow. Where, you know, you see them dancing and everything. You know, it was very like, you know, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, where I like the incorporation of an indigenous culture and seeing it for all its color and beauty and grandeur. That's mm-hmm. great. There was, and while I wouldn't have watched it of my own volition, and I'm annoyed I get tricked into watching these things by Marvel, at least if, you know, if I'm going to have to watch this, at least I get to see cool stuff like that. Now, what are you going to do with it once you have it there, once you have my attention? That's where the show fucking falls apart for me. All of the stuff with Kingpin, all of her rationale. And again, getting back to her, she is mopey. She is sullen. She does not change. But the only thing that changes by the end of this is that she discovers she has an inner superpower.
That's why. Seriously. That's why I was complaining about the Jonah Hex clause. Mm-hmm. It's not. Okay. It's not so much, that's not in the comics, that's not accurate. It's more the idea that this is an interesting character who has incredible abilities, but you don't think, the studio execs say, no, we got to give them another superpower, otherwise it's not going to be interesting. That's what I get annoyed with. It's like,
right.
don't scrape the bottom of the barrel for this kind of a thing. But you are right that this character is just not engaging. No. And frankly, I'm going to sound evil for saying this, but I mentioned this in the chat. Inclusivity aside, why should we root for her? It is great to see more inclusiveness on screen. Mm-hmm. It is wonderful. And again, I love that we got to see so many Native American actors in this. The director of four of the episodes was a Native American filmmaker. The one who directed the third one was, if I read that correctly, was actually Aborigine.
Mm-hmm. Look, I'm all for that. Like, again, I saw Killers of the Flower Moon that had a fairly big Native cast. I don't know if you unless you're on it, you don't watch. But when Robert and I reviewed Killers of the Flower Moon, one of the things I said about the movie was I loved all the scenes with the natives, the way they spoke, like the tenor in which they delivered lines. I loved all that stuff. Like
how the lady who played Maya's grandmother played Lizzie Q
mm-hmm.
in Killers of the Flower Moon.
So like there's Killers of the Flower Moon where you're telling the story about natives and it allows you the opportunity to hire a large Native American cast and tell a story. You know, if you ever, there's a lot of really tragic chapters in American history, and I'm not here to say America is bad or America is good. As Robert and I have said, everything that America has done, so has every other country on this fucking planet. Like, I'm not here to tell you America's any worse or any better than anywhere else. But I do think an examination of some of the more horrific moments in America's legacy are worth exploring. So, like, telling the story of Black Wall Street, telling the story of, you know, Killers of the Flower Moon, telling, you know, any
the
number
Tulsa
of
race riots. Yeah.
Yeah. The Tulsa race riots. which is part of the Black Wall Street thing.
Oh, you know, right. And, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. I missed the connection.
Which, you know, okay. So another example of this, Watchmen, right? You and I reviewed Watchmen, the series, and that dealt directly with, right at the beginning, it dealt with the Tulsa Race riots, Black Wall Street, etc. And that was great. You know, we both talked about like, oh my God, we don't get, I think even you had said like, you know, in your lily white, you know, Caucasian fucking up, you know, Kansas upbringing.
Yeah.
You never got any of that.
Yeah, I talked about, and I remember talking to my family because my mother and my aunt remembered the race riots. And I was just saying, it's like, and I remember, and yeah, it was just like, how has that never been taught before? And after watching Killers of the Flower Moon, again, I'm like, how have I never heard of this before? Yeah. It is truly, I'm not going to go on to the rant same as you about how America's tragedies are so horrible, but it does need to be said that it is depressing that these atrocities are not getting discussed, that they're getting swept under the rug and hidden, and we're not talking about them, that students are not learning about these events. So we should.
So any opportunities to do it in television show like this, like Watchmen, etc., to do it on film, I think are good ones, because at nothing else, and this is the point that I'm trying to get, I'm backing up the point that you were making, inclusivity for inclusivity's sake demeans the race in which you're being, or you were trying to include. It's essentially, what is it where you hire people of a different race? What's the term for it?
Affirmative action.
It's an affirmative action, which the biggest argument against affirmative action is you're not hiring people based on their skill, you're hiring them based on how they look, based on what they are. Which maybe sometimes works out. Maybe sometimes you get a lot of people that are not as skilled and the job gets done shitty, which is a huge problem people have. Like, legitimately, the people's problem with affirmative action, the ones that aren't using it as a mask for racism.
Pretty much.
Which I know is there, but we're not counting those people. They don't count. Their argument's illegitimate. Is you're literally hiring less skilled, less talented people for no other reason than what they look like and, you know, and who and what they are. And my problem with inclusivity for inclusivity's sake, my problem with doing a show like this is that I think it demeans the Native American culture. You're saying
and the Native American culture.
You're saying you're in the deaf culture. You're saying essentially none of this stuff is really worth watching, but if we eliminate all the other stories we could possibly tell, and we're only left with this one, then it's okay. It's like, it's not. You're saying that this isn't really worth watching then. That's your argument, essentially, which I think is bullshit. By the same token, if you're like, we really need to focus, we know there's all these, like, you know, cis white male, you know, heroes in the Marvel Universe, and they're all getting movies, and it's fine. Let them have their moment. Let's use television to sort of focus on some of these minority characters. Okay. That can't be the end of what we're doing here. You then have to make sure you have a solid story. And it doesn't seem like anyone working on this show thought past deaf Indian and thought like
pretty
that
much
would be enough.
We support inclusivity, but that is not, inclusivity does not a character make.
Yeah, I was going to say, the difference between this and Killers of the Flower Moon. Martin Scorsese clearly had a passion for telling that story. All the same inclusivity, all the same opportunities to hire Native actors, yada, 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 tell a tragic story, and did it to the point where this is probably going to win or at least nominated for a Best Picture. Then there's this piece of shit. Same mathematics, different results altogether.
Well, not to mention, he understood how to actually write a character with what was DiCaprio's wife's name, Molly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Molly is a, you know, three-dimensional character.
Absolutely.
We are very invested. We know about her. We identify with her and we want to follow her. Maya Lopez, we don't. Again, we know nothing outside of who she is, outside of being a thug for,
you know what I've, you know, you know what I'd like Kingpin. To have seen? You know, we were talking before like how what could have made the show better. Leave white people out of it. I would have preferred to her be on the run from the Kingpin. And maybe there's a small contingent, you know, or another couple of superheroes from the Marvel comics that are pursuing her that are Caucasian. But I would have liked to have her come home and like there's an Indian mob, a Native American mob that's running that part of town. That her family, you know, her family is, or, you know, God help me, you know, a native tribe that has a casino and has all kinds of riches and is just run, you know, and running roughshod over the small town. And so like there's these two different Native American tribes in this area of Oklahoma, and one is rich and powerful and one is barely surviving, and the rich and powerful one stepping on the necks of the little ones. She's sort of there to return the balance to the town to put this evil organization in its place. That would have been great. And you know what? You would have had twice as many engines. What?
Nothing. Going back to it reminds me of Supergirl from the Flash movie that we got last year. Because there was all this buildup about this new actress playing Supergirl. And I was like, Okay, fine. We have and she looks very different from what we've seen with Supergirl. You and I reviewed the Supergirl TV series. This actress obviously bears a great difference from her. I'm like, okay, let's see what we got. Let's see what she gives us.
Right.
Nothing. She wasn't a character. And I remember, I searched. So I'm like, why do people love this character? She's androgynous. We love that she's androgynous. Androgynous. Does not a character make.
Right. You are more than just your race or your sexuality or your religion.
Exactly.
It's like only ad nauseum on this network.
Again, I couldn't get into her character just because it's like, I'm not getting anything out of her character except that
she was angry and chick Superman. That was her whole character.
Yeah, I still remember someone yelling at me because I said I didn't like her costume, and they're like, what, you think she needs this skirt? I'm like, no, it's the fact that there's no belt or boots, so it honestly looks like she's wearing footy pajamas. I would have been. I'm sorry. I've looked at that thing a million times, like just a belt or shoes, just something, so it doesn't look like she's wearing pajamas. Oh, look, we got our commenter, Mr. Dr. Hyde.
Yes, it's Robert's brother we're not on Twitch tonight. Because the Talk the Kecky guys are on Twitch and we can't have two Twitch accounts. So he's watching us on YouTube. So Robert's brother says, Disney was better at being inclusive when they weren't forcing it. Jasmine, Mulan, Princess and the Frog, just a few at the top of my head. Yeah, I think that's spot on.
I agree. Very much so.
Now, all right, what else about this?
And again, I liked this character when she was on Hawkeye. I loved seeing her fight Hawkeye. I loved seeing the development of her realizing that the Kingpin was her enemy. I want to see her. I loved seeing her fight Daredevil on this. I want to see more of that. This is a character that I don't want to say like, oh, why do we need to see her? It's like, no, she's a cool character in the long run. And I'd like to see her interact with other Marvel characters, but it's abundantly clear that Disney/Marvel just didn't care about any kind of character development for her.
You know, it's funny, you brought up The Flash, and one of the things we criticized about The Flash was throwing characters in for cameos just to do it, because you're hoping that's going to be enough jingling keys to retain your audience and attract more of an audience, and it didn't work out.
Yeah, they were hoping it's like Nicolas Cage fighting the spider. Right. Everyone should buy a ticket for that.
I'm sure there's some version of this that is closer to what I was talking about, where, you know, let's really focus on the Native American aspect with this. And somebody was like, we can't. The nerds want Kingpin. The nerds want Daredevil. So we got to force Kingpin in this, and they don't understand that character worth a fuck. As I've said at the top of the show, for those of you who have our audience grew a little bit over the last half hour, I spent the first 10 minutes of this just ranting and raving about how nobody who wrote the show understands that character at all. That was not the Kingpin. That is not my Kingpin. It was Kingpin in name only. And then Daredevil's not in it enough to have made a difference, but it definitely just felt like, when they were developing this show, it's like, well, we got to put these characters in there so that the nerds will be happy. It's like, that's not what the nerds want. The nerds don't care who you put in these shows as long as they feel like they're represented. And that's the point. You know, I said before, like, I don't really care about the minutiae of these things. I care about the story. But also, I think it's important that you translate the character from the page to the screen appropriately. I think you can play with it. You know, I've often defended Superman's depiction in Man of Steel as really playing around with that character. I think ultimately Henry Cavill's Superman was an accurate version of Superman what they were doing with him was sort of out of the box, you know, where he was questioning himself. He was, you know, he was making mistakes. He was trying to figure out, what do I do with all this power? And then when I've gone overboard, you know, and kill Zod, what am I supposed to do then? Like, how am I supposed to handle all of this? What do I do being an alien in a human world? Good questions. Good ways to play with the Superman character. But ultimately, at his core, Henry Cavill's Superman was a Superman we recognized. This is not a kingpin I recognize. So essentially, they threw the kingpin suit on a whole other character. And might I say, I'm getting a little tired of clearly agenda-driven writers with a real fucking bee in their bonnet for men. That it is, you can have men look bad. You can defeat men in your fiction. There's a way of doing it so that the men still look good, but evil is punished. That's the stories we want. Like, I know you're not a huge fan of his, but like, that's the thing. The critical drinker is not like, everything must have men coming out better in the end. Not once in all any video I've ever seen has he ever said that. We're looking for good triumphing over evil. And if they're all men, that's fine. But, you know, but if it's women triumphing over men and the men are evil and the women are good, that's also fine. But it's all in how you write it. And the problem is, I explain something in, I think, a very simple way. And even that seems to be escaping the people who work on these shows. It's like all they want to see is men, you know, pining after women. Yeah, I joked with Jesse when we reviewed The Deuce. I said, you know, a woman's fantasy is receiving the kind and volume of attention from men they think they deserve. Like, that's the fantasy. I fantasize about getting attention. And I feel like that was what was informing this particular Kingpin character. It was a woman's idea that a man should relentlessly chase a woman and get rejected every single time, with no other explanation for why anyone's doing what they're doing or why they want each other or not want each other, except that he's a man and she's a chick, and that was a good enough reason for him to chase her and for her to say no. And lastly, so I can end this rant and hand you back your show, I'm all fine with the idea of, you know, a woman playing hard to get, but at some point, if the man doesn't catch you, we stop chasing. This idea, and my problem is, so much of Hollywood writing now is thinking women can just run and have men chase them forever, for whatever the reasons are, and we're just going to keep doing it and be okay with never catching you. In real life and in fiction, both of those things are wrong. If we eventually don't catch you, we stop chasing. My favorite thing today was the Stitch on TikTok trend of the girl going, "Boys, if you ever want to get intimate with a girl," and then immediately it cuts to some guy going, "No, thank you," and then going off and explaining something really nerdy. I saw about a dozen of these today. And that is ultimately a reaction to, I'm not off on this. This is a reaction to other men coming to the same point of, if, and I'll round it back to Echo, if Echo doesn't eventually give in and go with the Kingpin by all rights should have been like, "Fuck you," and die and shoot her in the head because he's evil. And we never get to that point. He just goes, "No, but why don't you love me, Echo?" And it's like, ugh, this in no way resembles reality. This is some lonely woman's fan fiction. Your witness.
I'm just going to say this. As bad as... Thank you, Dr. Hyde.
Keep going.
As much as we both love this series, I do hope this isn't the last we see of Echo. I want her to come back. Again, I want to see her fighting with Daredevil in the new Daredevil series. Mm-hmm. I think it would be a really good idea. Not to mention blind guy, deaf woman teaming up to fight together.
All we need is a mute.
No, again, she's not a terrible character. This show,
by the way, we've already had a blind guy and a deaf guy teaming up. It was Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor in Hear No Evil, See No Evil. And I'll take that any day over anything by Marvel.
A lot of people would. Again, in the right hands, she's a good character. I want to see her come back in the Daredevil series. I want to see her fighting alongside him. I want to see more of her with that. Now, I will also give credit, again, the representation, the powwows, and getting to learn so much about the Choctaw people was fascinating. I applaud, I'd say, 90% of the actors in this. The one who really actually blew me away, hang on, let me make sure I've got his name right here. Chase Spencer, he plays Henry.
Or whatever, the guy that works for the Kingpin.
Yeah, he was a werewolf in the Twilight series. I thought he did a really good job in this.
Oh, and that's where I know him from. Okay, yeah, he looked familiar.
Yeah, so, and I also give credit to all the actors who had to learn sign language convincingly for their roles. That can't be easy, so credit to them. And I'll say, you know what, if this show does anything at all but it convinces some people to look more into indigenous cultures or to learn sign language, then maybe, you know what, there's some good to come out of it. You know, I actually tried to learn sign language when I was younger. I was taking a class for it. Class I ended up getting canceled because not enough people were interested in it. But you know what? I do hope that this series encourages more people to look at indigenous cultures and to learn learning more about sign language and how to help the deaf community. So hopefully some good can come of this. Other than that, though, guys, this show, it's really not that good. You know, again, I think the only thing to take away from this is Maya is now a good guy. She's going against the Kingpin, and it looks like Kingpin is going to run for mayor. And I guess we needed to set that up. Again, it very much so reminds me of the end of our review of Secret Invasion. It's like, okay, so now there's this Super Skrull, and Nick Fury is heading back into space. Okay, was that all we needed the series to do, was to explain this?
Let me tell
this?
You how this... We didn't really need an Echo series. She needed an episode or two of Daredevil Born Again. That's it.
Yeah.
Everything that was accomplished in the series could have been handled in 2 hours.
Yeah. So
either give her like her own like movie special, like, you know, like they kind of did, like they did with the Guardians of the Galaxy, or they did with Werewolf by Night.
That you know what, you just took the words right out of my mouth. Mm-hmm. They had done an hour long little mini movie with her.
Right.
I think this could have been really good.
Yeah, I honestly because again, it's not like the other characters really it other than Henry. Like, Bonnie adds nothing and does nothing. I like the Biscuits character, but I like the Biscuits character because he's the comic relief. He's supposed to be funny.
Yeah, the only reason I like the grandfather character is it's Graham Greene, and he's awesome.
Oh, yeah, he's great. He actually just took the word right out of my mouth. His scenes, like, him trying to sell bullshit to white people is hilarious.
That was really good.
You know, also,
I love the scene where he's trying to tell Biscuits to go away. Every time he turns around, he's always like, "Oh, poised expression." I love that. That was really good.
But he also has like a really sweet scene with Echo's grandmother,
with the sewing machine. Yeah,
yeah. That whole I could have watched a whole hour of just that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those two actors are really good. Like, first of all, those two actors have the best sexual chemistry of anyone in this show. Look, listen, old people fuck too. Listen, I'm trying to tell you something. It was two great performances. They had great sexual chemistry. It was a really nice moment with the sewing machine. Other than I think she makes her the outfit at the end for the powwow.
The grandmother sews it for her.
Yeah, yeah. So that was the significance of her getting the sewing machine, which I caught. Yeah. But
Know what? I actually give credit to the outfit, how it was mm-hmm. Native American influence, but still had the elements of her costume from the comic book. So,
oh, did it?
Yeah. So again, credit where credit is due.
Yep. Yeah, I'm not unhappy that I watched it. It wasn't that big of an ask. And it's not like I said,
it was only 5 hours. Yeah. It's not, again, this isn't Secret Invasion.
And I would tell you, like I said, it wasn't a complete waste. There were some really nice elements of this show. I just, part of my ranting and raving and my attitude about it is, because you'll notice that when I talked about it in the chat, I didn't say a word until we got to the stuff with the Kingpin. The Kingpin stuff is so bad, and his relationship and his dynamic with Echo is so bad, it brought the whole rest of the show down. Because up to that point, I was okay with what I was watching. Like, it seemed kind of meandering at times, but for the most part, for the first three episodes, I think, I was okay with it. Those last two with the Kingpin were so bad. I'm like, you ruined the entire show for all the reasons I was talking about before, which you will later see on TikTok.
What can I say? Disney, Marvel, film execs everywhere.
Well, listen to Falcon, do better.
Inclusivity. We want inclusivity. You're on the right track. But it inclusivity does not a character make.
So it reminds me of the Simpsons song, just do a half-ass job. Like, oh, look, we got minorities in this. We did good. Ta-da! And like, no, that's not ta-da. You have to still put the work in.
Yeah.
I wish they could just get away with that. Like, look, black folks. All right, it's amazing. Like, and that's all it took. I tell you what, my whole cast of characters on Damn You Hollywood would be different. I get an engine. I get a Hispanic. I get a Chinese. Well, I would have all the downloads, all the views.
Look, Alaka Cox was good in what she was asked to do, and I hope that we get to see her play the character again in Daredevil: Born Again, because she does have a lot to offer. The show was not her fault, mm-hmm. And I'd like to see her bring more to the character and get to expand on it a little bit more in more capable hands.
All right. Yeah, I got nothing else without repeating myself. So,
all right. Then why don't we go ahead and move on to plugs? I had a feeling the show wasn't going to be too long. Again, even with only five episodes, it's like there wasn't that much to talk about.
Not without going episode by episode, which I don't want to do.
If you're really, really interested in Native American culture, then yeah, go check it out. So, because there is some fascinating elements and lessons in history about the Choctaw people, and that is really cool. So, right, and if you're a bona fide Marvel nut, go ahead and check it out.
Okay, there's no more of those people left.
Someone out there.
So tomorrow we were supposed to do a Long Road to Ruin for the Flintstones movies, but Chris Bailey has family engagements, and he just found out about that today. So we're going to put that off until next month sometime, I think on a Friday, because I'm not as social as I used to be. So I can actually podcast on Fridays if I feel like it. However, I am going to go see American Fiction. Monday, the things having to do with actual podcasts. We're getting the band back together. Myself, Ronnie Adams, Jesse Starcher. We are reviewing the first season of Sons of Anarchy. Tuesday, David Wright, Robert Winfrey and I are looking at, sorry, I'm just putting this on screen, but I'm not acknowledging it. It would be myself, Robert Winfrey, and David Wright. We're looking at part five of Disenchantment. I don't think you have a show, nor I have a show Wednesday. I am, however, going to take my son to go see Dune part one from 2021 back in IMAX theaters for a one night showing. My son insisted that we go, so I'm taking him to that. And then Thursday, myself, Sean Comer, will be doing a triple feature. He picked these. This is not me. Street Fighter, Street Fighter 2, Legend of Chun-Li, and Mortal Kombat Annihilation. So that's
Oh, you week. Poor soul.
Yeah, that's what everyone keeps telling me. So
Okay, you know, I can almost give the two Street Fighter movies because those need to be studied, but why in God's name would anyone want to subject themselves to Mortal Kombat Annihilation? That movie is a root canal.
First of all, I saw it when it came out. Second of all, I did the first one as an on trial when we reviewed the one for Max, the one that went day and date. I guess that had to read 2021.
Yeah, I was on that show.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that was the one where I was in pain, Robert was in pain, and we were yelling at each other. If you remember correctly, that was a rough
I think
show.
I was the only one who actually enjoyed that movie, although I admitted the lead character.
Well, the point was, like, I made a dick joke, and because Robert's in pain, he starts screaming at me, and I was in no mood to be abused that night. So I started screaming at him back. Yeah, that show got uncomfortable in a hurry.
Yeah, I think I was the one who just said, like, can't I just enjoy watching Scorpion and Sub-Zero fight and hearing Scorpion say, get over here?
Nope.
Like, can't I just enjoy that?
So, yeah, so I mean, like, do I care? Not really. I watch bad movies all the time with Jason and sometimes with Sean. So that's what we're gonna do.
I was gonna say you sat through Blood and Honey for Jason. That man owes you. And I say that with all the love, because Jason's one of my favorite collaborators.
Robert's Brother, 10 out of 10, one of my favorite podcasts. Yeah, it's right up there with Age of Extinction, another one where Robert and I almost killed each other. Anyway, earlier this week, this is podcast number 3 for me for this week. Yesterday, me and David Wright also did a short podcast. We did Lower Deck Season 3. And then on Monday, myself and Robert talked about Jason Statham's The Beekeeper. Jason Statham kicking things with bees. Covered in bees, just like he likes his women. All right, I'm
bees,
done talking now.
My God. Atop the fourth wall reference. All right, well, I'm sorry, were you done?
I certainly am, Ollie.
All right. Well, yeah, this is actually my only show for a while. I won't be back until February 5th, where Jason and I are going to be talking Percy Jackson and the Olympians. I'm glad we got that rescheduled after I stupidly thought, oh, they're not uploading all of this at once. Oops. After that, we're going to have our next TV party tonight is going to be for Has-Been Hotel. We're recording that on Valentine's Day. I actually don't think I have that much scheduled for the rest of the winter at the moment. But that's also just because not a lot gets dropped this time of year. I do know we just got the first trailer for Resident Alien Season 3, so hopefully we can get the release dates for the episodes on that, and we can get that scheduled.
You had no interest in the Ted show on Peacock? Okay.
You know, it's hilarious that I'm trying to schedule all this, and my parents are hounding me about why I haven't started watching Succession or The Bear, which is their two favorite shows, and
I was going to say, if you want to start working through The Bear, I'll watch and review that with you.
Sure. Glad. I've been dying to start watching it. I mean, you know I'm a huge foodie.
Yeah, no, it was... When I was dating Sarah, it was one of those where we put together like a list of shows. I used to go over there twice a week, and we were like, at least one of those we were going to, you know, stay in and watch TV and have dinner at home. So we got almost the entire way through The Offer, which I had wanted to watch. And then the show, and then we were supposed to watch The Bear, but I am no longer dating her and I am not going over to her house. So I'm up for trying to squeeze in The Bear somewhere.
My dad sent me a meme today on a post that I got from a spam person on my Etsy account. Mm-hmm. And it was and he sent me a meme. It was from Succession. And I'm like, Dad, how many times do I have to tell you? I haven't started watching it yet. I have all the stuff I got to watch for the podcast first.
You know, I want to watch that. I want to watch Suits. I want to watch
Andre loves Suits.
Yeah, but it's you know, you're lucky I got this one in. All right. Anything else?
Like I said, we'll get. I'm still working on the rest of the schedule. We'll get those as soon as possible. In the meantime, let's go ahead and go over what does pay my bills here. And that's Honeysuckle Rose Creations, where fashion meets fandom at the intersection of geek and chic. We are in our off season right now, which means we're not traveling anywhere, which is good because the temperature up here dropped into the negatives and the roads were covered with snow and ice. So it's a good thing I'm not traveling anywhere because I don't want to deal with that crap. But we do still have our Etsy and Handmade at Amazon shops fully open and fully stocked. I'm actually putting a few more things on there as soon as it is both A, sunny, and B, not below freezing to the point that I'll get frostbite if I try to hold a damn camera. Because I take all my pictures with natural light. So hopefully we'll have those up and ready to go soon. In the meantime, you can find all of our stuff, all of our handmade accessories here on Etsy. And again, we also have a shop on Handmade at Amazon. I really need to take a little more time so I can actually get the shop on TikTok up fully. I have not had... It's hard to find out. It's like, okay, I need to make a TikTok video. Wait, I actually need to put stuff on TikTok. Wait, which part of TikTok is more important? I don't know. like I said, you can find us on, we are on TikTok. Trying to get better at making videos as fast as I can.
Have you seen the duets that people do where it's someone, they're duetting someone talking, like they're talking about narcissism or some shit, but like, their part of the duet is they're making something. You could literally
no,
oh yeah, yeah. You need to spend a little more time on TikTok. There you could just like duet people and literally just be like showing your shit. Like, earrings.
I'm trying.
Or like having, or like film yourself making the stuff and then duet it to somebody else's. Or, and hear me out on this, boys, if you're trying to get intimate with a girl and you go, no, thank you. But here at Honeysuckle Rose Creations, we've got fucking earrings made of Scrabble tiles.
Actually, forgive me, I probably should go ahead. Let me pull that back up here because, hang on a second. Where the hell's the history page? Pull that back up, bitch. There is actually something that I should probably go ahead and share from the Honeysuckle Rose page. Let me pull this up here. No, not that.
Look, lower. See, Robert's brother is all in on this idea.
If you are looking for the, oh, for God's sakes, share this tab instead. I'm trying to get better at this, I swear. This is one of our highlights for Valentine's Day. These are our Candy Hearts Scrabble Tile Dangle Earrings. You get 7 earrings in each set, and part of the fun is that you're going to get all the different colors, but each message is going to be different. You never know which 7 messages you're going to get if you order our earrings. We also have a matching charm bracelet. Same thing. You're going to get all the colors, but you have no idea which messages you are going to get. These are a lot of fun, really popular, great gifts for Valentine's Day. So if you're looking for a fun, cute accessory to give as a gift for your one true love who just happens to have a thing for the geek stuff, go ahead and hit us up. Again, that's Honeysuckle Rose Creations. You can find us on Etsy and Handmade at Amazon. As always, you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I will never call it X, and like I mentioned, on TikTok.
You're hosting.
I needed a second. Slight problem with Bell's palsy. Sometimes I get a little extra spit in the corner of my mouth, okay?
Okay.
All right. So, yes, thank you for tuning in tonight. For Mr. Mark Radulich, I'm Alexis Haina saying I don't get paid enough for this.
Be well, be safe.